Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
On the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, Kevin Hoff today. Jonathan Schaefer, our man, of course, behind the glass, getting it done exquisitely. And let's bring in Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. The Commodores, of course, open their regional tonight at 6 o'clock against Ohio State. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
First, give us a scouting report on Ohio State.
Well, you know, we haven't seen them up close, but we've seen a lot of film on them. Pretty dynamic offensive team, pretty physical. Kid at the top hits 15 home runs and has stolen a lot of bases. And I think their pitching's pretty good, too. We're going to face a big right-hander tonight who throws a pretty good changeup and a pretty good fastball. So anytime you play someone that you're not quite familiar with, they always pose a threat, particularly in this situation. But they're hot. They've won a tournament, and a lot like us, probably. They got a lot of confidence going into this deal.
Yeah, let me ask you about the bounce you get from that championship game win. You're down 9-1. A lot of people would have fired up the buses and said, yeah, we made it to the championship game. We won the regular season championship. But you guys, it was awesome. I don't have to tell you. What does that say about your ball club, you know, in a situation like that, against a really good team, coming back from that deficit in a conference championship setting?
Well, I think from a sports standpoint, it says we're greedy. You know, you want to, when competition is in place, you want to succeed. And I think the biggest piece of that is the maturity and how they work themselves back into the game. Because as a coach, you know, when you're 9-1, you got to play forward. And you, oftentimes, I mean, you talked about the circumstances. The tournament could have been over. But at that point right there, they just say, okay, let's win the next frame. And when you score one, then you score another one. It's almost like that runner that has a big lead, and then the runner behind him is catching up, and the runner who has the lead starts looking back now rather than the finish line. And I think that's where we were. We've been there before. You know what that feels like. So we just started to play catch up. And then once we got close, I think there was a surge of energy that, well, okay, we've got this far. We're going to win this. And, you know, I felt that way too. You never know how it's going to end up, but I felt like if we could just get within one, then we had enough offense to push ourselves across, and we did.
Any concerns about Raby? He's had, you know, two tough starts in a row, and obviously the stakes get a lot higher this time around.
Yeah, I think you're right, but what I do is I trust the kid. I think, as I told the players, they said, Patrick Raby's picked up Vanderbilt for 4 years, and I said, we picked him up today, and I said, that's what good teams do. And I think for him, he's very flatline kid. You know, I think a lot of times when you see that, you go, okay, yeah, but the fire's burning inside. And it probably is. I think more than anything, he just wants the opportunity to get back out there again. And he just wants to not necessarily redeem himself, because of what he's done here has been very good for Vanderbilt. But he just wants the opportunity to help his team. So, no, I think get to that point, once you trust a kid and once you understand the kid, then you go, okay, through this game, you're gonna fall hard sometimes. But at the same time, that's just an opportunity for you to get back up and throw more punches. And I believe they'll do that.
Speaking of Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin.
Coach, congratulations first and foremost, you know, on the SEC championship. But now you have to go on another run. What do you think will be the keys to you guys making a run? I know you talk about, you know, one game at a time and everything else, but what is it going to take to get you guys there? What do you think is going to have to happen?
Well, I just think our pitching and defense have to continue to be front and center for us, because I do think we're going to score runs. But when you start getting into these environments here, then, you know, the pitching is pretty good, and it kind of contains the games a little bit. And where the differences are is these little plays, those messy plays that happen, that where you take care of the ball, and your ability just to contain opposition from a standpoint of what you give them. If you don't give them anything, then it becomes more difficult for them to score runs. So I just really think our pitching, our ability to not give bases away, and to continue to play pretty good defense, because we've done that. You know, we've been a pretty good defensive team from an infield standpoint and outfield standpoint. So I feel like if we do that part, then we have a chance to have some pretty good outcomes.
Man, I was reading a little bit about Tyler Brown's story. I guess tell us his story so everyone can hear, all the millions of people that listen to this show, about his story and what he's overcome.
Well, there's a lot to it, a lot of branches to that tree. But with him, he's a kid that went through some hard times as a young kid, lost his mom, was basically adopted by a family.
Oh, wow.
And when I first met him, Maggie and I went up to watch him pitch as a sophomore in a summer league team right after we won the College World Series in 2014. I sat in the stands and watched five pitches, and on the sixth pitch, he blew out his arm. And that was the only time I saw him. But what I did during that time, I think he was throwing the ball well. He was 93, 94 as a sophomore, and I just always stayed in touch with him, and I think the other schools fell off of him at that time. And once I started to continue to stay in touch with him, I learned about his story a little bit more. Well, he came here, and the summer before he came here, he called me about 2 weeks before he came. And I thought, boy, he's going to tell me he's not going to come to school. And he said, Coach, I just wanted to tell you about a situation that I have. And I said, yeah, what is it? He said, my girlfriend and I are going to have a baby. And that was the first time I've ever, you know, received a call like that from a player.
Wow.
But, you know, when I received that call, I said, you know, let's go. Let's do this. You know, this is going to be difficult, but let's do this. And they had the child last year, and his girlfriend, Jocelyn, is a fantastic girl. She's going through nursing school right now up in Ohio. She comes from a great family herself, but they gave birth to Bella. And Bella was born with Down syndrome. So it was, you know, one of those situations where it was just another tough situation that Tyler and Jocelyn had to navigate at 18 and 19 years old, which, you know, you don't typically get those moments. But, you know, as we've talked about many, many times, if anyone can handle anything, it's that kid, because he's got a way of compartmentalizing things. Was he a Vanderbilt student coming in? Probably a lot like our daughter. You know, no, but he used his baseball skill set to get in, and this term was his best term ever academically. And I'm just watching this young man grow like no other. He's just a tremendous, tough, tough kid. He's a wrestler, big, strong kid. He's done a lot with his body, and as you know, he's closing a lot of games for us. He just got invited to Team USA the other day and throws the ball well. But he's like a field goal kicker. He comes into a game and he knows how to settle himself and kick the ball through the uprights by just breathing and concentrating on what he's doing. But there's so many layers to this story, and he's such a quality guy.
Tim, I got to tell you, I had a first over the weekend, and that was I rooted for a Yastrzemski in Major League Baseball. How neat a story is Michael Yastrzemski, you know, who was seemingly buried, you know, on the AA to AAA trampoline, and, you know, just changed organizations, went from the Orioles to the Giants, got off to a good start this year, and finally made it to the big leagues last week.
Yeah, it's probably... It took him a long time. It shouldn't have, because you could always see that if that kid got to that level, he would, I always felt like he would stick. He's just a baseball player. He too has gone through some tough times too. And, you know, his grandfather obviously is Carl, and Carl came down a couple of times to Nashville to watch him play. But Mike lost his dad early. I guess he was 13 years old at the time. We got very close with Anne Marie, his mother. We got very close with Anne Marie's family. And then Richard Yastrzemski, Carl's uncle, was, I would have to say, the person that, the male figure that really, really helped Michael while he was here. He's down here all the time. But Michael's just self-made. He's just a self-made kid. He's one of those kids that you want good things to happen because he was continuing continually just trying to make the team while he was here, even though he was starting every game. It's amazing his work ethic on the field and how good he was with teaching other kids how to play. And he just was an old soul himself. But I just felt all along that, boy, that was too long. I felt like Baltimore should have brought him up last year, but that's just me. But I just felt once that team brings him up, they're going to understand his value. And I'm just so happy for him. He got married this past fall, and that was a great wedding here in Nashville. Just very happy for him.
Well, listen, Tim, a lot of expectations for you guys. We're excited about the regional this weekend. We'll be watching, and good luck.
Okay, thanks so much, guys.
Good luck,
Coach. All right, Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Grover. Michael Yastrzemski, a great story. And, you know, obviously got a lot of attention. The only thing that stinks is the Giants don't play in Boston at all this year. That would have been neat. It really would have. And this is somebody who's rooted against the Red Sox every living, breathing day of my life. But I thought that was really cool.